Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to our own. Lord, even when we are about doing our own thing, you're still haven't changed. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we put our trust in you, Lord, not in ourselves, not in our own strength. But Lord, you are the one who knows the beginning from the end. You're the one that has started the process. You're the one that ends the process. So Lord, we thank you. In the midst of all that we might be going through, we give you thanks. And all glory and honor go to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this word glory caught my attention recently, and just want to give a short definition. It's my own definition. It's the glory of God is who God is in all His radiance and power, His character, His very existence. God is God. There is no other. When we talk about glory, we're talking about God and who He is. Okay? We've had several prophetic words to our church about the glory of the Lord. And we need to, you know, hear what the Lord is saying, but we also want to line up whatever prophetic words come need to come through the filter of Scripture and not some other thing. So when we talk about the glory of the Lord coming in our midst, we need to know what that might mean and what it may look like. So we're not waiting for the wrong thing, and we are actually going to recognize what God is doing and what He has done. So, maybe I can do a little justice to that. Maybe I can. I don't know. We'll see. Well, there's one verse here in Isaiah 42, verse 8, that says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. That's a pretty powerful statement. Well, first of all, I guess that would mean that whatever goes on, we need to give God the glory for all things. But that's not what this scripture is saying. It says, I'm not going to give my glory to anybody else. Either that scripture is true or it's not true. How many vote that it's true? Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad that we're tracking on the same thing here. That's true because then Jesus prays this. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had before the world was. And I put this scripture in for two reasons. One of them is, we've had people in our midst who claim that Jesus was the Son of God and not God. But God says, I'll share my glory with no one. But here, Jesus says, I had that glory. Only two things can be true. God's a liar and He gave Jesus the glory. Or Jesus is God. And He always had the glory. The latter is the true statement. So the glory that He said He would share with no other, He didn't. When Jesus says, glorify me together with yourselves with the glory which I had before the world was, Jesus is God. He's not sharing His glory with another. He's sharing it with Himself. With Jesus Himself. That's the first reason. The second reason comes out of Colossians chapter 1. I'll give you this. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm not sure what the verse is. I do have it in my notes here, but it says something about the hope of glory, right? How many know that verse? The hope of glory is what? Christ in you. That's our hope of glory. Christ in you. Glory in the Old Testament. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was what? Not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. Interesting. Seemed like the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament prevented Moses from going in the in the place where the glory was. In fact, the glory was in the tabernacle and Moses couldn't enter. Interesting. The glory of the Lord and man were not in the same place, and all activities stopped. Another passage here, 1 Kings chapter 8. And that doesn't mean 10 equals 11. I was a math teacher, and that's not true. That's 10 through 11. And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. But what does it say in the first part there? And it came to pass when the priest came out, the glory of the Lord went in. Interesting. A certain amount of glory. But it seemed like man and the glory of the Lord were not together. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. It was for this. He called you through our gospel, that you, now who's you? You is you. You is us. It was for this He called you. Now, we sometimes, and we should, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we focus on what Jesus did to qualify us. He took away our sin. He circumcised our heart. And all these things are glorious of the Lord. But there was a greater purpose in mind for all of us. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the glory of God would be in you. That's good news, by the way. Very good news. Man and God tabernacling together. Wonderful. Wonderful. But you know, I think sometimes we just go, oh, well, okay, what else you got? What else you got? I have a friend of mine. He's coming over for dinner, and what are you going to have? And I went through a big list of the menu. I mean, I had a lot of stuff on the menu. And everybody with all that, he says, what else you got? What else you got? Is there more? You know, Bob Mumford. How many of you have heard the name Bob Mumford? He was a Bible teacher. Like the rest of us, he had good things and bad things. But he once, you know, how many of you ever been to a meeting where they're crying out, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. We want more Lord. Well, Bob was crying out, more Lord. I want more. I want more. And finally, when Bob quieted down just a little bit, the Lord spoke to him. Bob, the trouble's on your end. I've given it all. It's not my end. I can't give more. I've given it all. It's on your end, Bob. And I think it's true for us. What more can be given than His glory to us? What more could you ask for? What more could man desire of God than Himself taking up residence in us? I mean, there is no more. Man and God together. In the Old Testament, Moses built a house and God filled it with His glory. In the New Testament, Jesus built a house. Did you know that Jesus built a house? That He's a builder of a house? Do you know that that house is probably greater than the former house? Do you know that? What about this house? Have you seen that house that Jesus built? It says, you are that house. You are that house. You're a living stone built into that house. Jesus is the builder of a house. And you're it. You are the house that God is building. You are the place. And do you expect that that house should not be filled with the glory of the Lord? His house. His house. Jesus' house. The one He's building. Moses ruled over his house. Jesus rules over his house. Now Moses was faithful in all the house of the servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house. What does it say? Whose house we are. We are His house. We are the temple of the living God. We're bought with a price, it says in Corinthians, right? Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of this glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want to say this. If God doesn't share His glory with anyone, how did you get it? How are you so blessed to have the glory of God come into you? Do you suppose Jesus could move in without His glory? You suppose you could be filled with the Holy Spirit without the glory coming along with it? Stephen, when he was being stoned, what did he just tell them? God does not reside in buildings made with hands. So if someone talks about the glory of the Lord filling this building, The only way that's possible is that you're in it. There isn't, without people in this building has no glory. Amen? You can't say, well, I'm going to go into this building because the glory of God is there. Baloney. God does not fill buildings with His glory today. He did in the Old Testament, but He does not do that today, for there is a new house. A house Jesus is building, and He's filling that with not just the glory, but He's joining God and man together. You and God have been brought together. Now that happened through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. A precious sacrifice was made for that to happen, but it's happened. You are tabernacling today with God Himself. How precious is that? How wonderful is that? Second Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need some letters of condemnation, or commendation to you or from you? You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from us. Just like Lloyd said, it's not about us that we're adequate. But our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We have a covenant that started with Moses, the covenant of the law. And then we have a covenant with Jesus of the Spirit. Okay? The letter ministered death. We'll see that right here. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones, what were the letters engraved on stones? Does anybody know what they were? Would that be the Ten Commandments? I think that's the only time in the Bible that I knew that some letters were engraved in stone. And I'm sure that's what it's being referred to. But what does it say next? But if the letters engraved on stones came with glory. Wow. The glory of the Lord was with this covenant of the law. There was a glory. There was a glory. So that the sons of Israel cannot look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory on his face. Now what glory? He was in God's presence. And he probably wasn't in the full presence, but he was in enough of a presence that when he came down, his face was glowing. Was glowing. And they put a veil over his face, even though it was fading away because it wasn't going to last forever. It was a glory that come and faded away. But they put a veil over his face so that they couldn't look intently onto his face. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? That's one, that's a ministry of the law, by the way, the ministry of death. So if you want to get into the law, just make sure you realize what ministries come with that covenant. You know, if you want to start ministering the law, be sure that you get it right, that that's the ministry that you got. You have a ministry of death. But then there's another ministry that comes along with that one. It's called the ministry of condemnation. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, that also come with the law, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpassed it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains. Do you know that that glory is unshakable, by the way? That's one of those unshakable things. The things that don't shake. I had an illustration I was going to do that I thought would maybe help me. I was going to hang a little LED flashlight over here. And I was going to turn it on so I could still read my notes. And I was going to use that as the glory that come with the law. And then I was going to turn on these lights. Because they take about 15 minutes to come on. And I thought, well, I'd have a little time. And then pretty soon there'd be another glory. And this little one here wouldn't really do much anymore. The glory that come with Jesus and the filling of the Spirit just is so bright and so glorious that the rest of it is not even, doesn't have any glory anymore. Does that mean that the law was bad or that all these things were bad? No, the law is good. It's just that we're not under that anymore. And this morning in Sunday school, I mentioned this. It wasn't so much that God wanted to take the law out of the way. You know what He wanted to really take out of the way? Is the one who follows the law. It was you that He took out of the way. It was you He put to death. It was you that was the problem, not the law. You were the problem. And He took you out. And I tell you, anybody who wants to go back to the law today is trying to resurrect the flesh. Is trying to resurrect that which wants to be in control. Because the flesh gets to choose which law. The flesh gets to say, well, I'm going to do this or that. The flesh is in charge when the law was there because the flesh had to follow the law, which it couldn't do. But it was all about us being the problem, not the law. We're the problem. We're the problem. So what did He give us? What did He give you? What's there to replace that covenant? Was Himself. He said, I'm coming in. I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to send my Spirit into you, and He's going to lead you into all truth. You see the difference? It's not about you being in charge to follow anything. John Goodrich told me, he said, that was, what would Jesus do, bracelets? Why do you suppose Walmart and everybody else is selling them? Because it puts man in charge. It replaces and puts you back in charge. What would Jesus do? Well, I'll make my list. I'll have a whole category over here. And I'll get into this circumstance. And I'll go back and I'll say, let's see what Jesus would do. I'm still in charge. But it's not about me being in charge. It's about listening to what God is doing. Doing godly things without hearing is iniquity. And they shall come to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? He said, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I mean, were not those good things? Is it not good to heal somebody? Is it not good to prophesy? Is it not good to do these things? How could anybody fault me for doing that? Well, I'm telling you, we're not here to be in charge. You're not here to be in charge. We are not in charge. We're here to be led by the Spirit. You don't get... Do you suppose that you should be greater than your Master, Jesus? Jesus said, I do nothing. 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 What do you suppose nothing means? I do nothing on my own. If Jesus didn't do anything on His own, what do you think we should be doing on our own? We need to hear and obey. There's no other way. I think that's a song. Hear. So then, every Christian is a person that needs to walk by faith. Walk by faith. What have you heard and what are you doing? Is what you're doing according to faith or is it according to good principles? That's what it boils down to. Are you following some good principles? You may be just getting back into the law. Are you following the Lord? Romans 8, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. Wow. So, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses who used to put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away, but their minds were hardened for until this very day. Do you suppose this very day is still this very day? I think so. That at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is unlifted or removed in Christ. The law and the reading of the old covenant keeps the veil in place. It keeps the veil in place. Next, just moving right along in this chapter here. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. So be careful, church, when you're preaching the law, that you realize what's going on when you're preaching it. It puts a veil over them and they can't see nothing. It's only the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel that removes the veil and they see. That's what the veil is removed in Jesus Christ. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now we were looking at this, and I looked at this chapter, and this glory to glory is like me going from this side of the room to this side of the room. From that glory to this glory. It's not a forever glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And you never quite make it. It's a one-time move And in that move, when I'm in the glory of the Lord is working in me, transforming me into His image. But the Lord didn't say, well, Steve, you go from glory, and then you get to have a mixture for a while, and a little more mixture, and finally, after a long glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, I end up over here in glory. There is more glory to come, because we do have the resurrection to look forward to. But I'm telling you, when Jesus moved in, He moved in with all His glory. He didn't withhold anything from you. When He came and set up residence in you, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, He gave it all to you. And He's working from the inside to transform you into His image. But the glory was from the glory of the law to the glory of the Spirit. From death to life. From condemnation to righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, once and for all. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in which you, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Together, together with the rest of the body, we make up the temple of the Lord, of which He has brought His glory in. If there's a filling and if there's glory, it's that which is being revealed out of His church. We are the glory of God in Christ Jesus. It's what's coming out of us. Don't be waiting for something special to come, but be by faith, be believing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The glory of God resides in you. And if there's some glory that comes, it's a glory that's flowing out of you. It's a glory that's flowing out of His people. It's a glory that's actually been given in Christ Jesus. We have a responsibility as the body of Christ to carry and to reflect His glory to the world. Stephen, when he was dying, it said they looked at him and his face was like an angel. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that glory that was in him kind of got revealed. In the New Testament, they said, oh, we can recognize these people have been with Jesus. I'm telling you, we have it. It's something that was given to us. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Don't let anybody rob from you what's been given to you and believe it and start walking in it, because it's out of His church, us, that He has invested Himself in you. He's invested Himself in us. We are His temple. We are what He intends us to be. He's done it all. So how does it release? By faith. What robs us from it? Unbelief. Be careful that none of you, through an evil, unbelieving heart, quit trusting the Lord of what He's done. You have it. We have it. It's something that we need to believe and walk in. Sometimes I think we keep waiting for what God's already given. We keep waiting and we're looking for something that God's already done, rather than actually believing Him for what has been done. Let me pray here. Lord, I just pray that You would reveal Yourself in our hearts again. Lord, let Your glory be released. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that anybody who has been back and put under a legalistic kind of life, that, Lord, You would, again, remove that veil. Remove it, and they could see that there is freedom in You. Freedom from law, freedom from sin, freedom from death, that we might follow You all the days of our life, and that by faith we can do acts of righteousness in Your name's sake. So, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, come again. We honor You, for You are the glorious One. You are the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, they're all dwelling in us with their glory. Lord, let Your glory shine through us. Let us be the light of the world, which is the glory of God in us, in Christ Jesus. And Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes clear that we would have hope of the resurrection, hope of a glorious body too, Lord, that we would be complete in You. You've given us the down payment. You've given us everything we need, but Lord, there's more to come. Lord, more to come through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and through the resurrection and the returning of the Lord. We look forward to that, Lord, that we might see all that You have done for us. So help us, Lord. Help us believe what You have done and not doubt. Not doubt. Lord, and Lord, whatever the enemy has done to keep us from receiving all that You've done, Lord, we curse that in Jesus' name. And we say, let the truth of God be manifested in our midst. Your truth, Lord, Your truth, and what You have done for us at the cross, Lord, let that be manifested in our midst forever and ever. In Jesus' name.